that they are in heaven. Oh, and of course, the doctrine that they are in the lake of fire before judgment. It got things all out of order, all messed up. But we'll set it straight. We'll finish this New Testament. Next we'll go to Luke, then we'll go to John, then we'll go to Revelation. And all these things will be made plain. Verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again on his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town nor tell it to anyone in the town. So this man was blind. Interestingly, the two stages. And to me, I think of this personally, I'm like, well, the two stages, what's it mean? And maybe there's some deeper significance I haven't brought out. You know, the miracles, they could a lot of times signify something, and I'm certain we could glean something from this, that there's sometimes comes in stages, right? Sometimes things need to be done one, two. But Jesus cured his blindness at the first point. You know, but perhaps the man had another problem. Maybe he was like me. I mean, I'm not blind, but I see men as trees walking. Meaning, when at a certain distance, there's no difference between a man and a tree. He just looks like a vertical line in my hazy field of vision. Because I don't see well. Not without my lenses, you know. Thank God for modern medicine. And I don't hesitate to do that. But still, so you could look at it like there was another thing underneath. He was blind and he also had astigmatism or something. You know, he was also nearsighted. It's different than being blind. Like the illness behind it would be different. Now, Jesus could have restored both at the same time. But he does it at different times. Momentarily. It really is at the same time. It's all at one time. The guy didn't come back a month later. But things sometimes happen in stages. Makes me think of my life. Because God took away many things from me. Sins that departed from me instantly when I got the Holy Spirit. But then other things weren't gone. And then what do you say to that? You say, well, I guess that's all I'm going to get delivered from. Or do you say, I'm not going to give up here. I'm going to be diligent and make my calling and election sure. I've made that reference several times. It's 2 Peter chapter 1. Read 2 Peter chapter 1. You want to make your calling and election sure? He tells you exactly how to do that. Not sure with God, make yourself sure. Yeah, but sometimes, hey, I always say this. You know, I talked about righteousness, and I know some people say, well, you are, then you're, you know, they want to immediately see results. And I had immediate results, but just not complete. And I make no excuses for myself. I'm inexcusable. But it's God I'm looking to for salvation. Salvation can't come from me. I can't deliver myself from my sins. If I could deliver myself from my sins, I wouldn't need Christ. If I could walk righteously, I wouldn't need Jesus. What purpose would Christ serve? If I could just do it, then the law would be sufficient. Think about this. Chapter 2, Romans, verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man? Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things, meaning all unrighteousness and all iniquity. And thinkest thou this, O man, that thou judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? I don't think I'm going to escape at all, no. But do you think, when you judge me, you think, oh, I'll be okay? You say, oh, Paul, but you teach you ought to be righteous, so therefore you're guilty. No. Them which do such things, the judgment of God is sure that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the judgment of God, not my judgment. But do you think you will escape? Just because you think you will escape? And you do things that you ought not do? Or this, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Understand that the goodness of God is long-suffering. It forbears judgment. He holds back judgment and suffers long with us that we may fulfill his word and that we may obtain the promises. Perfecting holiness. Cleansing ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Those are action words. Something we are to be about doing. But not with a view that we can't accomplish it. Why run a race that you're sure you will not win? Why not just sit on your hands in that case? And that's why people who believe in the doctrines which are contrary to the gospel, but teach a form of salvation which is alien to the gospel, that's why they don't do anything. And that's why their Christian walk is stale. That's why they have faith without works and their faith is dead. That's why. You know, zeal can carry you forward. But unless you see something happening in your life on a continual basis, you'll be discouraged. But in spite of any temporary setbacks or discouragements, it's those who carry on and seek the mercy of God to be forgiven and to be delivered. They obtain the promises. And those who know patience and who have experienced patience for real and have really been delivered, they know how to be compassionate towards others who are in the same spot. I have total compassion on people trying to get out of their sins. I don't talk about the righteousness issue to make people feel bad, but I want them to be encouraged to keep believing and keep seeking. Don't become stale in your faith. Don't let your faith die being without works. But rather, seek God that he may do his works in you. Have you even asked? You know, I mean, if you don't receive it, have you asked for it? Have you sought it? I'll tell you, I sought the Holy Ghost for over 10 years. Not as diligently as I ought to have, but over a period of 10 years, I didn't have it, and I asked on a few occasions to get it. Knowing what I know now, I see I should have asked a lot more. And even now, I see what I lack, I ought to ask a lot more. God, deliver me from every sin